Welcome to Sport Faith Life with Brian Bolt and Chad Carlson, two guys who came together for one common purpose, to think deeply about sport and faith. They are sports scholars, they're coaches, and they're competitive athletes, or at least they were. And together, they've created Sport Faith Life, a conversation that meets at the intersection of sport and faith.
Today on Sport Faith Life, we talk with our old friend, Dr. Paul Putz. Paul loves Jesus and sports, and he's turned that into an exciting career. Paul is an accomplished scholar, and he is now the director of the Faith and Sport Institute run by Truett Seminary at Baylor University. Baylor U is also the site of the upcoming fourth, can you believe it, fourth Global Congress on Sport and Christianity, which is about a year away, set for July 31 to August 2, 2025. We're really excited about that, so we'll talk with Paul about his work and get a sneak peek on the conference. So, let's get started.
Well, we're so excited to have Paul Putz with us on the podcast today. Paul is a repeat guest for us, and we are so excited to have him. Paul, we are having you on in part because of, well, there's a number of things going on, but one of these is a new role that you have, and I'm wondering if you can tell us a little bit about the new role.
Yeah, well, it's great to be back. Repeat guest, I feel special, and looking forward to the conversation. So last time I was on, I was the assistant director for the Faith and Sports Institute down here at Baylor's Truett Seminary, and June 1, I've moved into the role as director, and so still involved with FSI, but now in a position where I'm giving guidance and leadership to where FSI goes next. So excited to move into that spot and grateful for the opportunity.
It seems like a good decision on behalf of seminary and the program. We're excited for you and the role that you're stepping into here, the increased leadership. In order for our listeners to get to know you a little better, to remind them of you, or to get to know the newer, like an update on Paul Putz, like tell us something new in your life related to sport or faith.
Okay. Well, sport, I'm going to share a regret for sports. It has to do with esports. Do we count esports as a sport on this podcast?
It counts. It definitely counts.
Okay. I was going to say no, so it does count then.
Look, back 20 years ago, I'm a college kid, freshman, and I'm playing NCAA college football on PlayStation 2. And I played this game constantly with my buddy. This was our favorite sports game. And I really haven't played a video game since. But this year, this summer, EA Sports released the return of college football for PlayStation 5. And I've seen people playing this NCAA college football game on whatever new version of the PlayStation there is. And there's a small part of me that wants to go out and just buy PlayStation 4 or 5 and just play this game. And so I wish that I had the time and the shamelessness to just go get the old college football game and play it. But I'll have to wait till my kids grow up and maybe they get interested in the video game. So that's on the sports side of things, a little regret that I can't play the college football game that's out.
Nonsense, Paul. I mean, your job is sports. So
there you go. It's research.
Yeah. Blend this together. In fact, just expense it.
Field experience, yeah.
Baylor will pay for this. Goodness sakes, absolutely. Yeah. So since we're talking about middle school, I'm going to ask the question. You said, keep me on your toes or keep me guessing. So here's a question for you. When I say I'm talking to Paul Putz, people ask, is that his real name? It is your real name, but okay, what nickname did you get, or teasing potentially did you get for a name like Paul Putz?
You know, maybe it's because I grew up in small town Nebraska and we just weren't smart enough to come up with the names, but I never did get teasing. Even when I was a high school teacher, so I spent about 5 years as a high school teacher, Mr. Putz, nothing. No student realized that Putz is a derogatory term, right? You don't want to be called a putz. So somehow like that language or phrase, it skipped over a generation, I guess. And so I happened to come along at a good time. I will say any telemarketer who calls, they always err on the side of saying Poots. So they'll ask, is Mr. Poots there? And they're just like, if I'm going to get it wrong, let me get it wrong without calling him a Putz. So there it is. It is indeed Putz. And I missed out on the teasing. So if, you know, you can bring it back, maybe it'll put me in my place a little bit.
Well, I don't know. I think that roast came back on me. It just aged me. That nobody knows what Putz means.
Right?
For goodness sakes. Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. That just means I'm old and I haven't caught up with the new language. So I want, you're in no way a Putz, Paul. So that's, and you're in every way a Putz.
Well, in high school, I had a newspaper column called Just Putzing Around. So we had the old sports column there. So we used it in that way in high school.
You actually leveraged it. Outstanding.
Leveraged it. Yeah.
That's
great. You got to brand it. You know, you got to own it.
Wonderful. Speaking of branding and owning, you are branding and owning something new. You are this time around directing the Global Congress on Sport and Christianity. And I think for our listeners, they may know about it, but they may not. So I wonder if you could start by giving a little bit of your engagement with this Congress, this conference, and then talk a little bit about your role.
Yeah, we're real excited about this. So the Global Congress on Sport and Christianity, there have been three versions of this event. It is a space to convene academics and also just everyday people in sports, coaches, sports ministers, athletes, and practitioners around a shared conversation related to sports and Christianity, helping each other go deeper, learn from new research, and just build a community of people who want to engage thoughtfully with those questions. And look, y'all could explain this better than I could. You've been on the ground floor of this from the beginning. Even, you know, when I'm in grad school and just starting to kind of figure out that I want to study sports and Christianity, you and others from across the pond in the United Kingdom, you're dreaming this up, that hey, let's have this space where we can take scholarship seriously about sports and faith, but make it helpful for people who might not be scholars themselves. So, 2016 was the first one held in the UK. And then in 2019, you got to host one with Calvin. And do we count Hope as official host? Chad, what's the word there?
Come on.
I like this guy.
End the session right away.
Very sharp. Very sharp. Yeah.
So had rivals become teammates in 2019. 2022, it's back in the UK. And then for 2025, which is next summer, we're hosting it at the Faith and Sports Institute, Truett Seminary, Baylor University. And we're the hosts. We're convening it. But really what we're doing is we're just continuing on this conversation that you and so many others have initiated and led over the last decade.
Well, we were looking for some shameless kudos. Thank you for passing that along to us. And we would pass it along to Nick Watson and Andy Parker as the people that hosted the inaugural one and continue to be connected in deep, deep ways with this movement. Talk a little bit about the ways in which like this makes sense for you and your role, for the FSI, for Truett Seminary to be a part of this.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Truett's been unique just in being a seminary that wants to take sports seriously as an area of study, kind of raising the bar on how we think about sports ministry and chaplaincy. And this is what John White from 2011, when he came to Truett Seminary, this is what he's been about, what he's been building. And so, you know, Truett has more than a decade now of really engaging deeply in sports ministry. And both John and Cindy White, they've been a part of this Global Congress movement and helping to spark these conversations. So their presence at Truett and what they've built up is starting the Faith and Sports Institute has really created a space for us to be, you know, one of many voices in this conversation. And I think the fact that Baylor is a Christian research university, Baylor has high-level college athletics, we have this seminary with a sports program, all those unique factors really make this like this is right in our wheelhouse. We're just to participate with others and to help move the conversation forward. It's exciting to be a part of that. And you know, you think about 10 years ago, again, before the Global Congress first got started, feels like there's been so much exciting new work happening and new, sometimes it's scholarship, it could be, you know, books that are out, or sometimes it's initiatives, it's podcasts like the one you've started, it's new programs at other spaces. There's feels like there's momentum building to think more deeply about sports and Christianity. And this is a perfect time to continue to move that forward. And Baylor's just lucky, I think, to be a part of it. We definitely have something to offer with our unique areas of interest. But also, I think it's just sharing in that conversation with others.
Yeah, very well said, Paul. I love the way you framed this Global Congress as one among many voices. And us at Sport Faith Life, we're just privileged to be a part of that. But like you said, across the United States and then across the world, lots of different efforts to try to really engage this idea of sport and Christianity in new and innovative ways. And I think a first step by taking sport seriously and by engaging in it. I wonder if you think about the Congress itself, even though it's one among many voices, what do you think the Congress brings, or what are you maybe hoping it would bring that's different or unique to that overall goal?
Well, I think of the conferences I've been at, there hasn't been something quite like the Global Congress. And I'm thinking of 2019 is the one I attended. And what's unique about it is, yes, you're going to have what you're used to with an academic conference. So there was new research and there were scholars and professors, and it felt familiar to me as an academic coming and being a part of that conference. But it was interdisciplinary. That's what stood out to me right away. It wasn't, you know, my field is history. This wasn't just what do historians think about sports and Christianity. It was philosophers, theologians, kinesiology, sport management, there were historians there, but so many different fields of study, all with different angles that can help us better understand different aspects of that dynamic interplay between sports and Christianity. That was really remarkable to bring those voices together. And then along with the interdisciplinary aspect, there was the element of inviting voices from practitioners, from people on the ground. And there's always a tension here. I don't think you can ever do this perfectly, just because if you have academics who are trained to think a certain way, to present research in a certain way, that's going to look differently than someone whose expertise is focused on how do I lead a meeting well? How do I invite others to collaborate as I engage in, say, sports ministry, or as I coach a team, or as I lead an athletic department? There's different skill sets being used. But just to bring those people in the room and to invite shared conversation is really unique. Even the effort itself is unique. And so to have that happening in 2019, I mean, nothing represents this better in my mind than that y'all have Miroslav Volf, this leading theologian who doesn't really do much with sports, but he's this, if you're in theology, you know this name, you know, one of the leading theologians of the past couple decades, and he's there presenting on sports. And then you have Tim Tebow, right? A leading voice when it comes to when people think about sports and Christianity, they think of Tim Tebow. And both of these people are there, and we get to learn from them and listen to them and have conversation. And also have dialogue where you can agree or disagree with different perspectives that are laid out. And we're encouraged to have that conversation. So there really isn't anything quite like that, that fits the interdisciplinary, that crosses practitioners and academics, that invites conversation. And that's what's so exciting about being able to do that in 2025.
That's definitely been a major part of the cultivation of the movement, is ensuring that these disparate voices are feeling welcome at the congresses, right, every 3 years. And so it's been, you know, in my experiences, it's been a lot of fun going because it feels so different from kind of my guild academic conferences. As much as I enjoy those, I enjoy this because I get a chance to network with people that I wouldn't normally come across at a conference because we wouldn't share much in common in terms of what we do professionally. But there's this opportunity here where we're all at the intersection of sport and Christianity, which has been a lot of fun. I wonder if you, what you can tell us about the actual event itself. Here we are, around a year out. I mean, this thing's coming up here. This year, the minus 1 year to get there, it's going to fly by. And at the same time, it's going to feel to some of us who are so excited about it, like it takes forever, you know, like waiting for Christmas. But what can you tell us about this event to be hosted at Truett Seminary?
Yeah, well, I think you can expect that we're going to continue to kind of carry forward, you know, what we just described and talked about in terms of what can be special. So if you're a scholar who's studied sports and Christianity, if you're interested in research and you're trying to hear from other people who are interested in that topic, then you can expect to meet people who are involved in those conversations and to engage with them and get to know them. If you're a practitioner, if you're in sports ministry, coach, athletic director, athlete, maybe just a parent who has a kid in sports and you want to think more deeply about this, you're also going to be able to find people who share those passions and interests and want to grow. So you're going to get those elements. In terms of, you know, some of the maybe new things or ways we're trying to adapt for what's ahead, we're going to have a women's pre-conference. So this is something new, just to think about women in sport, right? This is a moment we're at culturally with Caitlin Clark and the women's college basketball, now at the WNBA, growing interest there. But it's not just that. It's, you know, women's soccer, gymnastics, swimming. We're seeing women athletes get the attention that they've long deserved but haven't received. And so that growth and interest in women's sports, I think it's a great opportunity for us to think about in the global sport and Christianity movement as a Congress, how do we prioritize women's voices in that? And also, how can women have a space to talk amongst themselves and to share resources? So Elizabeth Bounds and Cindy White have been working to put together this women's pre-conference that will create that space to empower and equip and resource women to move forward. So that's something new that will happen really the day before the Congress starts. And we'd encourage you, if you're a woman interested in sports and Christianity, whether you study it or whether you participate in it, to just keep that in mind and maybe put that on your calendar, because it would be meaningful. The other thing is trying to structure the shape of the conversations a little bit. And, you know, when it is interdisciplinary, the beauty of interdisciplinary, as we just said, is you can hear from a variety of perspectives. You can hear angles you maybe hadn't heard before. But sometimes you don't get maybe the same cohesion or the same topics that this interdisciplinary angle is organized around. So we're trying to structure the Global Congress around four main themes. And we'll be asking presenters and our keynote speakers to share and to present based on those themes. And the first theme is identity and belonging. So we want to think about how that relates to sports and Christianity. Our second theme is embodiment and health, you know, ranging from physical health to mental health and everything in between, spiritual health. How do we think about that in terms of sports and Christianity? Our third theme is moral education and discipleship. It's sort of a platitude that sports builds character, that we can grow spiritually through sports. And we want to talk about that. We want to think about, well, how does that happen? What are the opportunities, but maybe what are the weaknesses, the pitfalls as we pursue that? And then the fourth theme is on culture building and institutions for Christians involved in sports. How do they think about distinctly Christian ways to build spaces in sports that reflect one's perspective on Christian values? And of course, we use Christian there in an ecumenical sense. We know they're are lots of different traditions within Christianity, and we welcome all of it. We want to have a wide-ranging conversation that reflects the beauty of the diversity that exists within Christianity, and this conference will definitely invite that.
Yeah, I think, thanks, Paul. The themes that you've generated, I think, are very appropriate and exciting to reflect on sport as it is. But also, there are just some major questions when you start thinking about the future of sport and the future of sport in the church, sport in Christianity. And I think that these will help frame these forward-thinking conversations. We always like to look back and then we examine the present. But for sure, we're thinking about like, where's this going next? And I think those are going to help us frame these conversations and even the presenters for to be able to, I think, situate the conversation in the right place. And I'm really excited, too, that you what a great innovation that Women's Pre-Conference. You mentioned that sometimes a thought in sport is that it's about men, right? It's an old boys club. And the Global Conference has never been about just men, but it's largely populated by men, right? It's just, yeah. It's hard to encourage more and more females to come, to present, to participate in the conversation. This will be fantastic. I'm really excited that this is happening. And I think it's just a wonderful innovation to bring that all together. I wonder if you could tell us, okay, that's a conference, but come on, you can't go to all the sessions, right? I suppose most people will. But tell us about Waco. Why would I go to Waco in the middle of the summer and go to a conference?
Well, do you like 100 degree heat?
Who doesn't?
Yeah. If yes, you're, no. So we do build in spaces in the schedule. It's all the conference events are going to be held at the seminary. So the idea is again, just being around people, a shared conversation, dialogue that can happen after sessions that feels like we're all together in the same place is what we're trying to go for. But also, I'm sure you've been at conferences like this. They can get over-programmed. The reason people come to a conference is, yes, to learn and, yes, to have sessions that they listen in on, but to talk with old friends and to make new ones. So we really do want to create that white space in between sessions where you can talk, you can process, you can meet someone new. You can say, hey, let's go out, let's grab lunch, let's grab dinner. So we definitely are envisioning doing that, setting up some tours of Baylor Athletics facilities. We do expect that some leaders within Baylor Athletics, they're excited about this Global Congress happening, and we'll definitely have some representation with some of our panels. And we have new facilities that have been built, whether it's the football stadium, brand new basketball arena, and other aspects of Baylor Athletics that we'll arrange a tour and help people check those out. There's some other sites in Waco for historians like me or people interested in history. There's the Texas Sports Hall of Fame, and the American Football Coaches Association has headquarters in Waco, and so that can be fun to check out. We also are home of the Magnolia Empire, so Chip and Joanna Gaines have built this up, and if you're not familiar with them, you can Google them. They started off as kind of home renovators with a television show and were so popular they became celebrities and have millions of fans and really became a main attraction where tourists come to Waco to visit their stores and to check out the homes they've renovated, to stay in them as an Airbnb. They have a restaurant. When I say empire, I mean it's a mini empire here. And they do a lot of good in Waco and really invest in both Baylor and the Waco community. So for you, or you know, maybe you bring along a significant other as well, there's going to be good stuff to check out there. And of course, Baylor's campus is beautiful, and there's other areas of Texas close by that you'd be able to get to as well. Maybe you come a day early if you want to check out Austin or Dallas, about an hour and a half away. There's plenty of sites there. So. Plenty to do, and most importantly, plenty of people to do it with at the Global Congress.
So you're saying I can hang out with Chip? That's awesome.
I think that's right. Every attendee gets a VIP pass. No, I better not put that out into public.
I will add to that. Last time I was in Waco, I was with my daughter, and we did what I would call a teenage girl food tour, which was not your ordinary food tour, but you know, right near campus, like there's. I don't know, there's Raising Cane's and Chick-fil-A and Dutch Bros Coffee and these other cool little coffee shops. They had Dr. Pepper themed drinks, right? This is the home of Dr. Pepper in Waco.
Dr. Pepper Museum, that's right.
The museum is there. We did...
don't forget Buc-ee's.
Buc-ee's. There's a Buc-ee's between Waco and Austin, isn't there?
That's right.
Wow. Yep. Well, we did Magnolia Farms, got the cupcakes there, which is delicious. The Magnolia Breakfast Restaurant, which was, I mean, absolutely as advertised, delicious, and a lot of good reasons to be there. Hey, Paul, I wanted to ask you a question here related to the leadership of the event. Certainly we're talking to you because you'll be at the forefront of it, but you're going to have help from others. Who are you working with to make this thing happen?
Yeah, a whole team of people have been involved in this. And so if we think about first, we've had a planning committee that we've been meeting together, for over a year, talking through plans, coming up with the themes. It's a whole team effort. We've got, I think there's 12 people that are on these calls, and we mentioned some earlier with Andy Parker and Nick Watson, who are still helping to steward this, Val Jin and Tracy Trothen, Roger Leip. We don't have to name all of them, but the point is there's a whole planning committee that's making this happen and that are dreaming this up and setting things in motion. And then, within FSI itself, we have a staff team that's helping to make this a reality too. And people like Isaac Lee, who was recently hired by FSI, he leads our continuing education program efforts. He's been central to this, helping out. At Truett, we have a staff team that helps out with the website and the marketing. And at Baylor, there's an institutional events team that helps us set up the website and create the branding for it. So from top to bottom, there are a number of people making this happen. Even shouting out Brian Gamble. Brian Gamble, he had a postdoctoral fellowship with us at FSI, and that postdoctoral fellowship ended last year. But in his time while he was a postdoctoral fellow, he was the one who kind of initiated making this happen at FSI. And so even as he's moved on into other areas, he was a key figure in moving this forward from the beginning. So yeah, it's a collaborative effort, and it's just good to have a team of people to work on this with.
Paul, this is going to be so exciting. We can't wait to get back together again and see people we know from past congresses, but also meet tons of new folks. That's going to be exciting. One of the people that might speak would be Paul Putz. Partially because you have something recently released, and I wonder if we could take a few minutes and have you talk about your book.
All right, I'll take a chance to talk about my book. And real quick, let me shout out a few other Baylor names. Let me make sure they get their credit. John and Cindy White want to make sure they're involved. Andy Meyer, Elizabeth Bounds, in particular, just here at Baylor, are people who have helped us drive this forward. So with my book, yes, it's called The Spirit of the Game, American Christianity and Big Time Sports. I think on my first call I got to have with you guys, we talked a little bit about it, and it wasn't at a space where it was, coming out anytime soon, but here it is. So it's coming out in this fall, and it's been a process to put this thing together. Started with the dissertation and then spent a lot of time revising it and trying to make it a book. For me, I wanted to make it a book that non-historians could read. So it is academic, but something you don't have to be a historian to read. But that also speaks in particular to sports history and the history of American Christianity. So I wanted to make a contribution at the intersection of those spaces. And it's been honestly a blast in a lot of ways to write. A lot of work to actually write it, but the research part, I've just loved getting to explore a history that has been a part of my own journey in terms of being a part of groups like FCA and seeing myself as a Christian athlete through this book and through studying it. I was able to kind of figure out the history of where those ideas came from.
Well, having read through some sections of the book, Paul, I think it hits perfectly right where the mission of this Global Congress movement is, right? And so you're drawing on historical research, thinking about sort of the American church, at least the sort of white American Protestant church, and how that's connected with sport, and looking at sort of history of sports ministry, right? We're at you're at the intersection between the practitioner and academic stuff here too, where it's deeply disciplinary, right? It's historical. But it talks about things that would be of interest and of help to those who are working practically in the world of sport and Christianity. And so I'm just sort of curious what the feedback is that you've gotten so far throughout the process with the publishing house, with some of the reviews, with the blurbs that you've seen. How does that make you feel as an author, and what are we to look for when this thing comes out?
Yeah, the blurbs has been interesting because I think every author experiences that sense of is this any good at all, right? You both are authors, so I'm sure you experienced this along the way. And so when you put it out there with other scholars in particular, or people who know the topic, and when you can get some affirmation back from others who you respect that, hey, there is something here, it just means a lot. And so for me as a scholar, to Chad, to have a blurb from you, you know, it was the reason I asked you to read through it and to have your perspective on it. You know, that helps me know, hey, there's something helpful here for me to contribute to the conversation. So I've been really kind of blown away when I have some endorsements from scholars. I think I'm this small town Nebraska kid, and I'm writing a book that people whose books I've read, now they're saying, this is interesting, this is helpful. And so that's really the heart of what I was trying to do with the book. I think on the practitioner side, I've also used sections of the book in classes I teach. So I teach a sports and Christianity and historical perspective class. And because so much of my book centers on the United States in particular, from about the 1920s to the present, and I'm looking at the rise of sports ministry and the way that in sports ministry, they kind of create this infrastructure within the sports industry. And so that speaks to an experience that a lot of students that are in my classes have. A lot of them are involved in sports ministry. They were in the past, or they currently are. And so they're seeing a history of organizations that have touched their own life. And I think that interest drives their own, or that engagement drives their own interest. I do write about those subjects as a historian would. So, you know, historians are trained to use certain disciplines and methods, trained to go to the primary sources, to put things in context, and to show how sports relates to these different cultural topics. And so when I'm writing about a group like the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, it's not a book like, hey, here's an inspirational story of the rise of FCA. It's here's the tensions, here's the conflict as the FCA tried to figure out who it's going to be, what vision of Christianity it's going to put forward, and how it's going to relate to American culture. And so it's a story that is going to show those tensions and conflicts and show the deeper meanings that sports have often held for Americans. I think about my own experience. Sports mattered more for me as a student in high school and college than a lot of the classes that I took. I think it formed and shaped me more. And so I think as scholars, we really need to take seriously that sport is a place where we're formed, that sport is a place where culturally, intellectually, spiritually, it matters. And I wanted to take sports seriously in this book as a place where real change and transformation happens that speaks to even the nation as a whole, culture as a whole, kind of a view of the importance of sports. And so it was, it's been good to try to tell that story, to tell it in a way that is as close as I can do, is true to the sources, certainly has my own biases in the mix, but hopefully tells a fair story that whether you love a group like FCA and are part of it, or maybe you aren't someone who gets on board with FCA's brand of Christianity, but you can read this story and it'll make sense to you and come across in a way that's fair in terms of sports ministry significance in American life.
Well, Paul, that was a somewhat brief overview, and I want to get more. I can't wait to get my hands on this book. I want to thank you in advance for writing it, and I'm pretty sure that after Chad and I both have a chance to spend some time with it, we're going to want to have you back on to talk about it. That'll be something we can plan for in the future. As we sort of wrap up this conversation, getting back to the Congress, if somebody is interested, just wants to poke around a little bit, just wants to learn more about it, they could probably contact you directly to learn about some of the details. But also a website's going to be posted soon and opportunities to register. Can you give us a little bit of a sense of where we might go?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say Google 4th Global Congress on Sport and Christianity. Probably the best thing to do now, and whatever URL that we have when our website goes live, it'll be kind of an extended URL link. But there will be a website that's up on the Baylor University webpage for the Faith and Sports Institute. And we'll have a page there with information on the Global Congress. And I know also, I'd say check out Sport Faith Life, because all the information will be there too. So if you go to Sport Faith Life and go to this podcast, this blog, anything you need to know about the Global Congress will be present there. So that's a key way you can continue to follow Sport Faith Life on social media too, or follow the Faith and Sports Institute, and you'll stay up to date on these things. We do plan to put the website out, which will include a call for papers. So the first thing that goes out here in August will be an invitation for presentations or papers. And so if you're a scholar or you're a practitioner and you have something you might want to share and contribute, that's the most important thing we want. We want you part of the conversation, right? This isn't just, hey, just come and listen. Although you're more than welcome to do that, we welcome that too. But we'd also would say, you have something to contribute. You have something to offer to the conversation, and we want to invite that. So from August through January, the main focus will be on inviting people who want to participate to submit a proposal, sharing a topic they'd like to present related to one of those four themes we discussed earlier, and then going through a process where we evaluate those proposals and group them together and create our conference based on what you, the listener, the contributor to this, want to submit. So that's the most important way for the next few months, is to be thinking about what you might be able to share or contribute to the conversation. In terms of registration and those pieces, in the spring, you can expect that after our conference schedule has been set up, after proposals have been submitted and we've determined a conference schedule, then we'll have registration opened up. And so we'll make sure, information is sent out and you're aware of how to register, how to sign up, so that next summer, July 31 through August 2nd of 2025, you can come to Waco, Texas, be a part of the Global Congress, hopefully presenting on a panel or a paper or some sort of presentation. But if not, hopefully just attending to listen, learn, and share in that conversation in between.
Well, Paul, very exciting. Can't wait for the Congress. It's just a short year away. I just want to thank you for being willing to take this on. It is a big deal to run a conference of this size. And so far, you're really hitting it out of the park, and we really appreciate all the organization, all the forethought in pulling this together, and we just can't wait to see where it goes. Thanks very much for talking with us, and I know we'll stay in touch.
Awesome. Well, thank you, and you're both central to putting this together too with your work. And I'll just say too, keep an eye out for our keynote speakers. We'll plan to announce those as we kind of finalize who they are in the coming months. We're really excited about who we have lined up to share.
And we will, on Sport Faith Life, interview each of those keynote speakers sometime in the next year. So we can all look forward to that. Thanks again, Paul, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in to the Sport Faith Life podcast, a conversation at the intersection of sport and faith. Read the corresponding blog post and learn more about us at sportfaithlife.com. Listen to more of our podcasts on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And follow us on social media to stay up to date with everything sport, faith, life.